This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
11:06 at KRLD as we get into hour number two of the show today. It's mid-morning mic check. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and you, Iron Balls. He texts in, says that he's out mowing the lawn barefoot.
That's exactly what you did.
That's what
got
I did.
Got you in hot water with the missus.
Got in Dutch with the wife.
That's right. You were sleeping on the couch.
For sure, she was not happy about it. But I commended him. I said, that's good.
But he's in Louisiana, right?
No, I think he's back home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, in Louisiana, I don't even know if they have shoes in Louisiana.
I tell you what they do have. They got snakes and stickers and
that's another thing.
All that stuff. So I might not do it.
Lots of crazy reptiles, alligators, swamp.
To do it barefoot down in the bayou, that might not be smart.
That's right.
Which streaming service would you give up if you had to give up one? A lot of people have hit that point. I gotta cut back. I'm gonna get rid of one. Which would it be? Here's Cindy in McKinney, your favorite listener.
That's right. Yeah, right? Cindy in McKinney. I met her before.
Cindy says if I had to give up one, it would be Peacock.
Yeah, I mean that's probably the one I would go with because they got that Love Island. I think that's their big draw right now, and that's a lot of reality TV shows on.
I would say Peacock. You do Peacock though. If you don't have cable, you lose all the NBC shows, including, as we said, Sunday Night Football.
See, that's the thing. It's football for me. If it doesn't have football on it, then it's expendable.
And we watched Peacock a lot during the Olympics.
Oh, so. That's true. Yeah.
But you could just get it back every couple of years, and then for the Olympics, and then cancel it.
That's right.
Yes. And
there's always a workaround.
Now that Brian writes in, says Netflix for him. 19 years he was a subscriber, but dropped
19
it.
19 years? Has it been streaming that? Oh, okay, I guess the DVDs.
Yeah, right,
back
DVDs
in the day.
In the mail.
That's right.
So he goes back a long way. President Trump says a new round of talks with Iran, that they are the last chance for Tehran to forge a deal and avoid an escalation of U.S. airstrikes. Iran's response to that, they're saying, what talks?
The president says he wants to give Iran every last chance, as he described it before, quote, decapitation. But there's still a lot of confusion on if these talks with Iran are happening and what ultimately they could lead to if there's any kind of deal actually on the table.
We're talking about the strait, the opening of the strait, having it open literally by tomorrow, completely open. And that's phase one.
And over the weekend, the president called off what he described as the largest attack since World War II. That was set to happen on Iran, but then these allies intervened, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, as well as Qatar, convincing the president to hold off on that large attack in hope of some kind of diplomacy. But this really has become a pattern. The president threatening these major strikes, then calling them off at the final hour to talk with Iran. And that's what's playing out in recent days.
News Nation's Libby Dean there. So who is Iran talking with? Well, that would be, oh man, Oman, the country that controls the other side of the Strait of Hormuz. So there's reportedly a deal in the works in which ships entering the Persian Gulf would have to stay on the Iranian side going through the Strait of Hormuz, ships exiting the Gulf would hug the Omani coastline. And those two countries would effectively control the strait. And yes, there would be fees involved, although it's unclear how that money would be divided. Now, if that were to happen, the president clearly would not be happy, and the U.S. could begin firing missiles again. Of course, that's assuming we have any missiles left to fire.
Reuters is now reporting that we've used virtually all of our long-range precision missiles in the war in Iran. Reports state the U.S. has burned through nearly our full stocks of both Army tactical missile systems and precision strike missiles in just a matter of months. Now, those missiles have also played a key role in the war in Ukraine. Analysts are warning they would be important for a potential war with China as well.
Yeah, got to stockpile those for that war with China.
Yeah, I know how they already are scheduling that in.
It's just like a foregone conclusion.
I didn't hear about this. Okay.
Translating this into a dollar figure, at a recent hearing on Capitol Hill, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth put the cost of the Iran war so far at $37.5 billion.
You know what's crazy is that it's so high, and yet we've not put no boots on the ground. This is all airstrikes and military military strikes at, at certain places, drone strikes here and there.
This is, I mean, the vast majority of this is just...
Could you imagine if we did put troops on the ground and then you got to get tanks in there and then other other vehicles? Oh,
I worry that he's going to reach a point where he just says, screw it.
Let's just go in. We got to kill him.
And then boy, what a mess then. Enough of the mess now. And from one war to another, you know, we hear a lot about the war in Ukraine. Perhaps we should relabel that, though, and start calling it the war in Ukraine and Russia, because the Ukrainians keep pushing back deep inside Russian territory. Here's ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge.
We saw yet again the Ukrainians striking a Russian oil refinery hundreds of miles from Ukraine, again highlighting the ability of Ukraine's drones to strike deep into Russia. Oil infrastructure, gas infrastructure, it is critical for the Russian economy, the war economy. We also saw the Ukrainians hit another logistics center for a company called Wildberries, which is basically the Russian equivalent of Amazon. It's the largest e-commerce company in Russia. The Ukrainians say that Wildberries is used by the Russians to procure and distribute military equipment. It is true that certain types of military equipment, like body armor, are on Wildberries' website. But what also is the case is that this is another example of how the Ukrainians are taking the war into Russia. If you target Wildberries, this massive e-commerce giant, it is affecting the everyday life of normal Russians.
This would be like Iran bombing an Amazon warehouse.
As he said, Amazon.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
The outrage. No.
People would be, hey, I have to get my toilet paper coming in here. I'm not going to go to the store to get it.
The strategy clearly from the Ukrainians is to take the war into Russia, to make it clear that for normal Russians, their lives are impacted by the war. What we've also seen in the last 24 hours is a Ukrainian drone coming down onto a crowd beach in a resort, one of the most popular resorts for Russian tourists at this time of year. Now, according to Ukrainian media, that Ukrainian drone fell short of its target, which was a military production site. But again, I mean, this killed at least seven people, including three children. These type of incidents are showing the Russian population the cost of the war which Russia launched.
And you'd think that by now, the man who did that, Vladimir Putin, that he'd be out of office, that there would have been some sort of popular uprising by now.
No, this is Russia. You got to remember that.
That has not happened.
But it is true that for the Russian elite, those, you know, very super rich people, powerful people around Russia who have multi-billion dollar interests, companies, once the economy really starts to suffer, and it clearly is suffering now, that more of those powerful Russian people begin to question whether or not this war is really in Russia's interests and whether it should continue.
In other words, if the oligarchs are still on your side, you're okay. But you lose the moment, though.
That's what I've been hearing. The biggest, I guess, the biggest thing that could stand in Putin's way from going forward is that if the powerful people that are worth a lot more than he is, if they start saying, we need to get this guy out of here, and you know how Russia is, that could happen in a lot of different ways. He's done.
Well, yeah, that could happen, or the guy who suggested could go out a window.
Well, there's that. But if there's a lot of suggestion doesn't go away, then you can't just throw them all out of the window. Eventually, someone's going to throw Putin out.
I know.
You would think.
It would seem inevitable. I would have, you know, how long has this war been going on? Four and a half years.
And that's another thing that they all thought this was going to be, including Putin, thought this is 4 months, tops. And now, here we are four years later.
By the way, on the subject of the president yesterday, we mentioned this in the first hour, criticizing big oil for some of these crazy profits. Exxon and Chevron yesterday, second quarter profits totaling over $26 billion because of the high price of oil. And the president's not happy about that. He says that's too much. That's too much money. They should give some of it back, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's a listener, Brian. He's in Dallas. He gave us a shout out on the Odyssey app.
Hey, guys, I wasn't there, but I would be willing to bet that if I was watching President Trump as he was chastising the oil companies for making too much money, that at the end of that tirade, Trump probably gave the oil companies a wink, because I would imagine that he's not going to be too angry at them. They helped to get him elected, and now they are enjoying the profits. That's kind of the way it works in Washington today.
Well, thank you. He's right about that.
Somebody helped you get into office, and you're always going to have to rub those guys back.
And, you know, I mean, these days, gosh, it wouldn't surprise me if today he came out and applauded them for making all that money. So
the bottom line with the oil, it's like you always say, is going to go up, it's going to go down, they're going to make money, they're going to make extreme money. The company that never seems to really be hurting too badly is the oil industry.
That's true. Well, it is all cyclical, and it's down. The price of oil is down, though, today.
So what do we got? Is 76?
76. Still okay. 76 for West Texas Intermediate. Look at the stock market, though.
What do we got?
After yesterday, what was yesterday's jump?
Oh, it's at an all-time high.
Close to 1,000. We're up another almost 900 points today.
They love it, man. They see something in the horizon that maybe is not quite apparent to us yet.
Evidently. All right, when we come back, the Los Angeles Dodgers, are they going to ruin the sport of baseball? Get differing opinions on that, certainly in light of their most recent
Dodgers
trade. What's their payroll?
I don't know.
Billions and
billions.
And
the thing is, it's all deferred anyway.
Right, and that's part of the problem. So we'll get into that when the Mid-Morning Mic Check continues on KRLD after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
We continue the Mid-Morning Mic Check. You're a part of the show, too, at 945-766-1080. Let us hear from you. You know, Austin and I, we've been bad-mouthing the Los Angeles Dodgers for a long time now.
I'm still going to.
and their ability to buy the best team possible, basically, and just win championships, because they've got this huge market. They make a ton of money. All that broadcasting revenue.
They're not doing anything wrong against the rules, but it's just like no one else can compete.
They just outspend everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why the owners are proposing a salary cap. They see that as the only way to slow this juggernaut
down. Rein this all in.
But salary cap, the players are not on board with that. That could lead to a lockout and perhaps no baseball next season. Not everyone is hating on the Dodgers, though. Jim Bowden, baseball analyst for CBS, he says the Dodgers are great for the game.
They are the best for baseball. They are the greatest for baseball. They have owners that want to spend money. They have owners that want to make money so they can spend money. They want to hire the best people, have the best analytics, the best research and development, the best amateur scouting, the best international scouting, the best player development. They want to have the best of everything. They hire the best people. They trade for the best players. They sign the best free agents. They're committed to world championships. The Dodgers are the model organization, not for baseball, but for sports in general. And they shouldn't be called the Los Angeles Dodgers. They should be called the World Dodgers, because that's exactly what they are. And oh, by the way, the whole country of Japan roots for the Dodgers, because they were smart enough to go get Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Roki Sasaki. And what does that do? That brings in revenue so they can go spend more money. They make the best moves. They are great for baseball. They are best for baseball. But let's get a hard salary cap, please, so that the other 29 teams have a chance.
Was he serious about that, or was he being sarcastic?
No, I think that, look, there is some people, if your owners want to go for it all the time and they have the money and they're willing to spend the money to do it. I mean, we've been bitching for years about Jerry Jones not doing that for the Cowboys, but now someone's doing it in baseball. But there's a salary cap in football.
That's right, and all the other sports. The deal that has once again brought all this to the forefront was the Dodgers trade for the Tigers ace, the two-time defending Cy Young Award winner, Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
For him, the Dodgers sent the Tigers three minor leaguers and some cash. But as Bob Costas points out, because the Dodgers also have the deepest farm system,
they didn't even give up some of their very best prospects. Also, for almost any other team that might have been in the running, we heard about the Rays, we heard about the Brewers, in the running for Skubal, it's going to be a rental for them. The Dodgers know that unless some sort of significant salary cap is imposed after the almost certain lockout in December, if it's anything like the present system, the Dodgers are in perfect position to keep Skubal. So when they acquire Skubal, yeah, it could be, in theory, only for 3 months, counting October. But there's a very good chance that Skubal plays out his career as a Los Angeles Dodger.
Oh,
Great. And so the question, all things considered, are the Dodgers good for baseball or are they ruining
it? I understand ownership's desire for some sort of economic predictability, if nothing else. And one thing that is a reasonable argument is that even if the Brewers and the Rays and other teams that are relatively under-resourced, no matter how clever and smart they are in their management, they can't hold a team together. There's going to be a lockout in December, no question. It'll probably carry over into spring training, and it might even carry over into the regular season because the owners don't mind if they play only 140 games. It's happened before. Attendance isn't so great in April when kids are still in school and the weather isn't so great in some cities, et cetera, et cetera. So they're willing to lose games, and I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen. But if they blow the whole thing up, this is like some sort of mutual suicide.
It's a good point that he makes. It's building a good team is not as difficult as keeping the team together.
Absolutely, because these guys are going to get good.
That's where you've got to have the money.
They're going to get pay raises. This is what the A's, if you ever watch the movie Moneyball, this is exactly what they ran into all the time. They had a great farm system for years. All these players would get great, and then it came time to get paid, and the A's just couldn't pay them.
Couldn't or wouldn't.
And the Yankees were right there to swoop in and give them all the money they needed.
So look at this. The two things here. First of all, local TV rights, fees, all right? In Major League Baseball, you start down at the bottom, get the Brewers, $33 million. Dodgers this year, $334 million.
Exactly.
In local TV rights fees. And do you know how far back the Yankees, you'd think the Yankees would be at the top. Yankees, $217 million.
And that's from the Yes Channel and everything. They've got it all wrapped up right there.
They're just barely more than half of what the Dodgers are getting.
That's just crazy.
Which is insane. And think about this, too. It's something else that's insane is the Dodgers rotation now. Once everyone is healthy, should be by the end of this month, it'll be Ohtani, Scooble, Yamamoto, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow.
That's pretty good. You can win a World Series with that rotation.
And then the lineup on top of that with Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Kyle Tucker, Max Muncy. It's just stupid. All right. Now, does anyone have a chance? Of course, that said, the Dodgers have lost like five in a row now. But
anything can happen in the playoffs. We've seen that, including the Texas Rangers winning a World Series out of the same way. But again, it's stacking up pretty well for the Dodgers. You like their chances going into the postseason.
I would say so.
A lot.
When we come back, RFK Jr., guess what? He's got a new cooking show.
That's right.
That's right. We're going to saute some raccoon penises.
Oh, boy. There goes our explicit rating.
We got to get that for you. Coming up, stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Seems like another pool day for me.
Oh, yeah. And it probably won't cool you down enough anyway.
No. That when the water temperature is like 92.
That's right. That's what you're going to feel.
Like a warm bath.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that he has a crazy love affair with dead animals. And now he wants
cook
to
them up.
He wants to help you eat right. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. launching a new cooking show.
All right.
In an effort to get Americans to eat healthier.
Hi, I'm Robert F. Kennedy Jr., your HHS Secretary. Welcome to the Real Food Show. Thanks to President Trump, we flipped the food pyramid and put real food back where it belongs, at the center of the American plate.
It's all to encourage Americans to eat better, and he's using post-apocalyptic type messaging ahead of the rollout to spread the word. Kennedy says the Real Food Show is designed to help Americans reframe the way they feel about food and how they prepare it. This is part of Kennedy's push to get Americans to eat more whole foods and fewer ultra-processed ingredients.
That's right. More bear meat, whale heads, and raccoon penises.
As a fitness nutrition specialist myself, in their effort to do this, I wouldn't be surprised if they talk about swapping out chicken breast, perhaps, for chicken thighs. Freeze really well, and they don't dry out. That'll definitely drive costs down at the grocery store. Also, getting creative with legumes, adding chickpeas to things like soups and chilies, and maybe black beans to an omelet. We got to think outside of the box. We're looking forward to seeing what this show will entail. Kennedy's pyramid focuses on proteins, vegetables, fruits, and cutting back on highly processed foods. What's new is this pyramid does not demonize animal fats like steak, cheese, and butter.
Well, I like that.
Okay, good. And another thing is processed foods. I am starting to look into that a little bit more. If you realize how much processed foods you eat.
I know.
Oh, my Lord. You're like almost everything.
Anything packaged.
Yeah, so you have to start thinking about that. It's not good for you.
She did kind of lose me at chickpeas, though.
Yeah, chickpeas. But the black beans and the omelet, that's pretty good. I've had that.
I would do that. that.
So let's see what it is. I'm not going to, if he starts pulling off whale head or something like that, then I'm like, I might check out.
Steer around the chickpeas.
Yeah.
All right. Been talking about this, this story today quite a bit, and let's get to it right now. You know, before TikTok and Instagram, even before Facebook, the early era of social media was dominated by MySpace.
That's right.
And then all the others came along and MySpace faded away. Now, believe it or not, it may be coming back.
This all comes from a documentary that's being made about the platform that interviews the current owners of MySpace, Tim and Chris Vanderhook, and they say that they are working on a new relaunch of this iconic social media platform, really one of the first social media platforms out there. But beyond that, we don't know a ton. We don't know when it's going to release. We don't know any changes that they plan to make to the, you know, classical idea of what MySpace was. But one thing that we do know, Kira, is that they are planning to reintroduce that top eight feature where you could select eight of your friends to basically be in your inner circle, which, you know, was one of the attractive features of MySpace. It also created a lot of drama back in the day. That is something that apparently they are planning to preserve. But again, beyond that, there's a lot that's still up in the air.
What? I'm not in your eight friends?
You might laugh, but again, I was in my 20s when MySpace came out, and I knew a guy and a girl that were dating. They got into a fight because she wasn't in his top eight, and some other chick who was he kind of might have had an eye for was in that top eight, so started a fight.
Well, I can understand her being upset about that. And for those who don't remember MySpace, by the way, it offered a lot more than just that circle of eight.
MySpace offered huge customization. You could go into the actual code of your profile and change things like the background to make it glittery or to have different pictures involved. You could automatically play songs if someone visited your profile, and the choice of song was a huge part of the sort of social interaction between people on that platform. And as a result, it also became this big music discovery platform where people could, you know, find out new music, new bands, and as a result, the music world really took to this in a pretty big way. Artists like Lily Allen, Calvin Harris, Arctic Monkeys all went big on MySpace in an effort to just get their music in front of an audience that would have otherwise not heard it. So a variety of different things kind of, you know, that you could do with MySpace. Obviously, it kind of failed as a result of the more uniform Facebook that came around just a year later and really took off on college campuses. But now it seems like there's this effort to kind of go back to something that is a little bit more personal, and that's why these creators are trying to get MySpace back into the public sphere.
ABC tech reporter Mike DeBusky. I actually remember the Arctic Monkeys.
That's right. I didn't know that they were MySpace creations, basically, that they used it.
Would you want, though, every time you got on someone's page for a song to come blasting up?
Yeah, that's kind of true. To me, MySpace, if it's going to come back, it's going to have to evolve a little bit from what it was, because back in the day, you could post anything on somebody's page and there wasn't anything they could do. They could delete it, but you could put it up, and that included pictures or whatever. Now I think you probably need a little bit more control over that.
And I still don't know that I'm completely on board with the circle of eight.
Yeah.
I think that's going to cause
somebody's going to get mad. Yeah. What? Why am I not? I've known you for years.
Taking one final break. We'll be back to wrap it up. Mid-Morning Mic Check on KRLD. We're coming back after this. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Wrapping it up on a Tuesday morning. Mike and Austin with you in the Mid-Morning Mic Check. Distracted drivers in one small town back east, they are on notice to put down their phones because there may be some eyes in the bushes.
A police officer in Dunellen, New Jersey has been hiding in the shrubs, blending in to catch unsuspecting drivers. The police posting on Facebook, "Did you spot our shrub today? If you had your head buried in your phone, probably not." Dunellen police say that hiding in the weeds is way more effective than sitting behind the wheel of a patrol car. 74 drivers getting tickets Wednesday alone.
Wow. They be hiding in the bushes.
Hey, that's the old way to do it.
It's like, was it James Mason said in North by Northwest? That's not very sporting.
Well, it's not, but I always thought, hey, you can see the cop a mile away if he's just sitting on the side of the road.
Oh, that's
he's
true.
Got that radar.
That is true. Part of the largest class action settlement in U.S. history, tens of thousands of student borrowers who said their schools misled them are going to have their loans forgiven.
I trained in computer-aided drafting at ITT Technical Institute. For half a century, its commercials filled the late-night airwaves, until 2016, when ITT closed its 130 campuses, leaving students like Robert Hall wondering,
how do we get the money that we put into the program?
A decade later, he might finally have an answer. A federal appeals court has ordered the U.S. Department of Education to forgive the loans of 170,000 students of more than 150 for-profit schools accused of misleading the public about their graduates' job prospects. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
I do know somebody that went through ITT Tech, and then they try to transfer over to Texas Tech. I think one credit. That's it.
He might get some money back.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to need to ask him.
Today is August 4th. It was 33 years ago today, back in 1993, one of the greatest moments in Texas Rangers history at the old Arlington Stadium, Robin Ventura.
Oh, man. I didn't know this is the anniversary.
He was with the White Sox, up to bat, Nolan Ryan on the mound.
The pitch is way in. It hit him in the right elbow. He's going to the mound. He's going after Nolan Ryan. Ventura against Ryan. They've got him bear hug. Ventura fighting Ryan. Ryan being pushed back. Both benches empty. A huge brawl has erupted as Robin Ventura has chased the legend Nolan Ryan, and the Rangers take exception.
You're darn right they did.
What an idiot. He always said that that was his biggest regret in baseball. He didn't know what he was thinking.
Nolan didn't need any help, though. He was 46 at the time. He delivered a series of epic noogies to the top of Robin Ventura's head.
You don't rush Nolan Ryan.
You do not do that. Also, on this date in 1964, the bodies of three missing civil rights workers found buried in an earthen dam in Mississippi, and Anne Frank and her family arrested by the Nazis on this date in 1944. They finally found him up in the attic. Birthdays today, Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, turns 45 today. NASCAR legend Jeff Gordon is 55. Roger Clemens, 64. Barack Obama, 65 today. And Billy Bob Thornton.
I was born and raised here up till I was 12 years old.
Why are you here now?
They turned me loose from the state hospital.
Billy Bob Thornton is 71.
71, wow.
I know.
No, is that old?
Looks okay for 71.
Yeah, he's doing good.
We're getting ready for a new Landman.
New
season coming. And that's it. We're done. Mike Rogers, Austin York, and the Mid-Morning Mike Check, the podcast version. Check that out. Chad Benson's in next. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.